Speaking of that new tax law, President Trump was actually talking about that yesterday when he spoke to nearly 5,000 people at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention in Tennessee. These are campaign-style appearances, and President Trump said he was promoting his tax overhaul he signed into law last month, and he said the benefits from it would mainly go to small family farmers.
In our nation's former, and then you know that our nation's farmers are just the most incredible people, and we are doing a job for you. Regulation, death tax, so much. You're a big beneficiary, and you're really producing like nobody else. So I just want to thank you for that. And that's why I'm so honored to be the first president to address the American Farm Bureau in more than 25 years. What happened? Where are they? What happened?
That's President Trump yesterday at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. We wanted to hear reactions to the speech and to President Trump's policies from Illinois farmers. Let's start with farmer Paul Taylor. He's a corn, soybean, and specialty crop farmer in Esmond near DeKalb, where he farms about 850 acres. Hey, Paul Taylor, welcome back to the 21st. Happy New Year.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year to you folks as well.
We've just got about a minute before we take a break here, Paul, but I just wanted to, Paul Taylor, I just wanted to start by just asking you if you heard President Trump's speech yesterday. I imagine you did. You were watching with friends. What was your immediate reaction?
Well, I did not hear the speech in the entirety, and of course I did hear excerpts from it, and I heard a comment a few minutes ago that it was a campaign-style speech, and I say bravo for him. We all need encouragement, particularly in the field of agriculture right now. And I think he's come through with a lot of his promises for the red states. I think some of his tax bill has included some things that are going to be good for agriculture and the rural community and our family in the long term.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Paul Taylor. We're also going to be joined by another corn farmer, Paul Jeske, and Grant Gerlach. He's a reporter with Harvest Public Media, are going to be joining us to talk a little bit more about how this tax code is going to affect rural communities across the country. We're also going to continue to get reaction to President Trump's speech yesterday at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st. For tuning into the 21st, I'm Nyla Boodoo. We're talking about President Trump's speech yesterday, his appearance at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. First time in a long time that a sitting president has addressed American farmers. We're getting reactions from some Illinois farmers. We've been speaking with Paul Taylor. He farms near DeKalb County, corn and soy. I want to welcome also Paul Jeske, who's with us. He's a corn farmer from Muzzin, Illinois, where he also farms about 4,000 acres with his brother-in-law and nephew's family. Paul Jeske, welcome back to the 21st. Happy New Year to you, too.
And the same to you. Good to be with you this morning.
Now, I know you had plenty of colleagues who were in Nashville in person watching the speech, but I understand you were texting lots of folks as he was talking. What stood out to you from what the president said in his address to farmers yesterday, Paul Jeske?
Well, the main thing, I think, was an appreciation of his acknowledgement of what agriculture is for this country, the hard work we do, the contributions we make to the military, the loyalty, the patriotism. As you mentioned before, when you were talking to Mr. Taylor, it was a campaign-style speech in many ways. There were some specifics, but in general, just that acknowledgement that he recognizes the part that the American farmers and rural America plays, that in and of itself was a feel-good thing, and you know, everybody likes to be appreciated. So we appreciated that recognition.
And Paul Jeske, as I mentioned, it's been some time since a sitting president has addressed the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. Do you think that that in itself is a significant moment to farmers that President Trump took the time to come to the convention?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a recognition that rural America did support him in a large percentage. Rural America was looking for some changes in the direction that the government was playing for us. So, I think many were kind of wondering, it's about a year into his presidency now, is he remembering some of the folks that helped to put him where he's at? And some of the policies, trade is something that we're very, very concerned about possibly losing. And he's been kind of verbally hard, obviously, NAFTA being the big one. So it was good to have him come and recognize our presence, recognize, at least in words, how important he knows trade is to the American farmers. And so that's something we were hoping to hear and hope that it carries through in what his actions actually are in the NAFTA negotiations.
Paul Jeske, I know we've talked to you about trade on the program before. In fact, I believe it was almost exactly a year ago, right after or just around the inauguration, where we talked about your concerns and certainly some that are shared by many across the agricultural industry, concern about President Trump's trade policies. Did he indicate anything yesterday? Mostly, we've just heard lots of statements from the president. We haven't, in terms of trade, we haven't seen any actual policies in terms of what's changes that have been made. Are you still worried about what may happen with trade in agriculture?
Certainly. We're still very concerned. The crops that we've grown the last several years have been huge, and our surpluses for our grains have been increasing. And the use that we have at home for those commodities is kind of static. It's slowly, very, very slowly growing, but our production is outpacing that growth. So we're very, very dependent on exports to try and help use up those surpluses and prop up the prices a bit. So what we heard yesterday were words, acknowledgement of him knowing that we feel NAFTA is very important, but the proof will only show up when we actually have the new agreement signed, or hopefully an agreement signed, and see what's in that deal.
Paul Taylor, for you, in the past year, as this, as Paul Jeske's talking about sort of the year under the Trump administration, wondering if he's still paying attention to rural America, I wonder for you, what do you feel, Paul Taylor, have been the positives and negatives for farmers and for you in this first year of the Trump administration?
Well, I think on one level, some would say there hasn't been a lot going on in Washington. There's many of us in agriculture think that there's been a number of things. Of course, the flagship event, if you will, was the tax legislation right before Christmas. But maybe at a more subdued level is the president's dealing with many, many regulations, which many of us in agriculture have felt they've become overburdensome, particularly issues with the example of the waters of the U.S. I know there's concern. We have concerns. We live in the communities as farmers. We're concerned about, as an example, environmental things. But those, I think his actions on the regulation side has probably been one of the strongest ones and most visible for us in rural America.
Mm-hmm. Paul Jeske, do you see negatives to the Trump administration? We talked about trade. Are there other things that have concerned you about the Trump administration so far?
Well, I think there's more positive than negatives. I'm not always wild, as many of us aren't, on sometimes some of the tweets, some of the rhetoric that comes out. But the actions, as Mr. Taylor is pointing out, have been in general very positive for agriculture. I don't think we can hardly emphasize enough to off-farm folks how this regulatory burden that seems to maybe be shifting a little bit here, how significant that is for us. The amount of time that we spend filling out paperwork, proving what we are or are not doing on our farms to show the government entities that we have interaction with, it's like the government and EPA don't think our time has any value at all. And Waters of the U.S. was a great example, as Mr. Taylor talked about, where that was an extremely significant regulatory burden that was coming down. Many of us had received maps showing what the government was going to lay claim on our property, where they would say that they would have the right to regulate that very small stream, or in many cases, bodies of water that were only there for a few days after a rain or whatever. And I mean, that was extremely insulting to think our private property rights were going to be encumbered by the government on those types of issues. So that attitude shift, where they have made major pullbacks, I mean, that's to us, or to me personally, I maybe should speak, that feels like a huge ship that has been turned now, that was heading dead for me.
Yeah, and it sounds like a huge relief for you as well.
Extremely, extremely. So, yeah, some of the rhetoric has been worrisome, but I think in general, most of the folks that I know, and myself certainly, feel that the actions, while I completely agree with Mr. Taylor, there's not been a lot of policy shifts or a lot of policy that's taken place, new things. What has is probably been definitely more positive than negative for the American farmer.
And Paul Taylor, let me ask you about what has taken place, which is the tax bill. The president talked about that he signed last month. How will that affect you and your farm?
Well, I think that as I think about it, of course, everybody likes reductions in their tax rates, and that's incorporated in there. I'll leave the conversation. It's such a huge volume with hundreds and hundreds of pages. I'll let the experts, if you will, argue out if this is more beneficial to the rich, and ultimately whether there is a pass-down effect of that economic multiplier, the rising, the tide lifts all boats, so to speak. But I think more importantly is a couple things for us. One is the uncertainty that we've had, particularly with planning, with estate planning and transition planning for our farms. I use the example that my father passed away in 1983. In order to avoid what we thought were burdensome estate taxes at that time, we set up some trusts and other things, and some would say, well, you didn't do it right, you didn't whatever, but we actually just unwound some of those a couple of years ago. So over 30 years later, we're still. So my point is when this stuff is complicated, overbearing, everybody, most people want to make some kind of reaction, and with the estate tax especially, the exemption's been raised. It's still going to apply to some in agriculture and many outside of agriculture, but it's going to reduce the need for us to spend a lot of time with our accountants and our attorneys, and that's one that Farm Bureau has been working on a long time. A couple other real quick ones are the certainty of the one, we call it the 179 expense election, where we can buy new equipment, put it into service, whether it's corn planters, grain bins, that sort of equipment to recapitalize our farms and keep it up to snuff, if you will, and be able to write that off, expense it quickly, if you will, instead of having to expense it over a number of years if we need that as a deduction. So that's kind of down in the weeds, but I think just helping us with reducing the uncertainty has been probably the number one thing.
Gentlemen, thank you for that. Paul Taylor, thank you especially for that. Paul Taylor farms near DeKalb County. I want to thank Paul Jeske as well in Grundy County for joining me, thank you for giving us a little bit more perspective on how you all as farmers are feeling about the Trump administration, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
Joined now by Grant Gerlach. He's a reporter with Harvest Public Media. That's a collaboration focused on food, ag, and other rural issues. He's on the line with us now from Lincoln, Nebraska. Hey, Grant, welcome back to the 21st.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So we've just been talking about this new tax bill policy. You just reported a piece on how this will affect farmers and rural hospitals. As we were just listening to Paul Taylor talk about estate planning and the new tax bill and how he's hoping it will help them, how do you think smaller family farms, let's start with that, will fare under the new tax system that will go into effect in 2019?
Well, when it comes to a lot of family farms, it's sort of like a lot of other families. There's the standard deduction that could impact them. Most farms are set up as small businesses, so the The tax cuts on the pass-through income that people talk about, that impacts a lot of farms. And the deductions you just heard about, writing off the cost of new equipment, that's something that has been pretty popular among farmers and also for equipment dealers out there also.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, though, in terms of how, as Paul Taylor alluded to, kind of the big what if in this bill in terms of how it affects farmers, he said he would leave it up to folks who spend a lot more time looking at policy and economic effects to think about whether it will spur as much economic growth as they say it will. I mean, in terms of other intangibles for how this tax bill might affect farmers, what are we looking at?
Well, I think the what ifs are a lot of those center around how it ends up impacting the federal budget. That comes into play for farms and farm policy. That comes into a play for a lot of other policies that support, as you mentioned, rural hospitals. So I'll cover a few of those. First of all, the Farm Bill is coming up. You heard mention of that too. That's a huge bill that covers a wide range of things, from crop insurance to conservation programs, to rural development programs, to food and nutrition programs like SNAP, the food bill, the food stamp program. And they're already writing that bill, understanding that they're not going to be able to spend any more money. But the question now is if they'll have to plan for cuts and how that might impact farms. Yesterday, the president said he's committed to crop insurance, and that was greeted by applause by the people there at the Farm Bureau Convention. But the question is how much the government will subsidize those crop insurance premiums. Right now, the government pays for about 60% of that bill. And one proposal that could come out is to reduce that subsidy. And that's a big deal for farms. They may not be able to cover as much land with crop insurance if that changes, if the government isn't paying as much of the bill. And when crop prices are where they are now, and who knows what could happen with the weather, that could play a big role in how farms, how it plays out over the next year or so.
Well, and how, for those of us, as Paul Jeske said, those of us who are off farm are impacted, right? Because if prices go up, that's something that everyone will be paying attention to.
Right. And it has to do with just the sort of general health of the rural economy. Farms are a big part of that. And another budget item that comes up is if there are automatic spending cuts that are triggered by the situation with the federal budget. Medicare and the reimbursement levels are one thing that could be impacted by that if Congress didn't counteract it. And rural hospitals have a disproportionate level of funding from Medicare and Medicaid government health programs. And so they're very concerned that if those reimbursement payments are cut, that rural hospitals could be even more vulnerable than they are right now.
And how do you think why is that? Because of how, I wonder if you could explain a little bit more about why this might affect the cost of care at rural hospitals.
Well, just because they have such a large proportion of the patients that come are to the hospitals in rural areas, a larger proportion of those patients pay for their care through Medicaid or Medicare. And so if the rates are reduced or if coverage is reduced, fewer people are covered, that has to do with the reversing the mandate on mm-hmm. the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
If more people are coming there that are uncovered, then there will be more uncovered care that they're providing. It just may end up they already have thin margins, and it may make their financials in a worse situation.
Right, because, of course, a tax bill also repealed the individual mandate for buying health insurance. Grant, as you look ahead, we've just got about a minute here or so. As you're looking ahead to 2018, though, and as you, with an eye to what President Trump said yesterday, this is something you report on all the time for Harvest Public Media. I wonder what are the big questions and issues you're thinking about, apart from the Farm Bill, sort of big issues for agriculture in this coming year under the Trump administration?
Well, the other big thing that came out yesterday was this sort of roadmap for rebuilding the rural economy. And at the top of that list of this list of items brought up by a group of cabinet members chaired by Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, the top of the list they put broadband and expanding broadband in rural areas. And the big question for that is how they'll pay for it and how they'll focus where the funding goes. and what levels of broadband they're aiming for. When they talked about the numbers, 61% of rural areas have access to what they consider at the federal level to be high-speed broadband, which is 25 megabit download speed, compared to 96% of urban areas have access to that. So to bring up...
Yeah, it's a big issue going forward, right, rural broadband. Thanks for that. Grant Gerlach is a reporter with Harvest Public Media in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll tweet out some of his stories. Grant, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.